From the Mighty 990 Broadcast Center, you're waking up in Starnes Country with Todd Starnes.
It feels like summertime outside. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Welcome to Starnes Country in the Principal Toyota Memphis studio. 49 degrees right now, and it is going to be a really weird day. It really is. But thank goodness the temperatures are rising and the ice is finally beginning to melt. And that is great news for all of you who did not pay $350 an hour plus $50 for every bag of ice melt to clear your driveway. So fortunately, you have decided to save a few dollars and let your driveway melt the natural way. All right, we have a fun program for you today. Our good friend Joe Garner is coming up in just a few moments from Real Estate Mortgage Shop. So looking forward to having Joe here, and she's gonna help you buy a house. You can't argue with that. I know a lot of our listeners, and especially younger listeners here on the Mighty 990, looking into getting a house. Also, last night there was the State of the State Address, Governor Bill Lee. This is his final one, and the governor, he got a huge response, standing ovations multiple times from the legislature as he delivered his remarks. As a matter of fact, the governor referenced the Memphis Safe Task Force in Nashville last night. Let's take a listen to Cut 4.
Memphis all my life. I grew up spending summers there with my cousins, riding bikes off of Getwell, where they lived, through neighborhoods of a great American city that is legendary worldwide. And it's saddened my heart to see over the decades that Memphis kids can't live that same safe experience. From day one, we've looked for opportunities to create change in a city that's more than worth fighting for. And over the years, good faith efforts have resulted in incremental progress, but that deserves recognition. But the Memphis Safe Task Force has fostered an unprecedented collaboration between local and state and federal partners that's nothing short of extraordinary. The federal resources delivered by the Trump administration, the dozens of agencies working side by side, the relentless bipartisanship that has proven all the critics wrong. This Herculean effort has in fact created generational change in Memphis. Crime is down 55% in Shelby County, with the lowest monthly crime totals in over 25 years.
Wow. That's it's really, truly remarkable. And again, all of the credit here goes to the Trump administration. And I don't want to begrudge the governor today. I appreciate the fact that he mentioned it was President Trump who did this. And the reality is our state, our government could have stepped in any time over these years, but they could have at any moment. The governor of the state could have stepped in, could have sent in the National Guard. And he never did. And that is an unfortunate thing. And I hate that for the governor. But for whatever reason, the governor was very reluctant to send in the National Guard and really even to send the state troopers in, the resources that we actually needed. However, now that President Trump demonstrated that you were not going to have the riots, you're not going to have the protest here in West Tennessee, the governor's on board with it. And look, at this point, whatever it takes. So the governor could have resisted. He did not. And for that, I'm just incredibly grateful. So again, it was a great night for the governor, touting a lot of his big initiatives. We'll get into some of those a little bit later on this morning. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, a bit of a bombshell in the world of Republican politics and conservative politics here in the Mid-South. Luke Symbol, who has really been spearheading a lot of the communications effort in the Republican Party, announced suddenly that that he is not going to be seeking re-election to his post. All of this is happening tonight, by the way, in Germantown. And there does appear to be turmoil within the local Republican Party. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Luke Symbol joins us this morning. Luke, I think you really shocked a lot of people yesterday by your announcement. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Todd. Before I get to that, I do want to go back to what you were just playing, what the governor was talking about with the Memphis State Task Force and the great success that we have seen on the crime issue here in Memphis. And yes, the governor gave credit to President Trump, and President Trump obviously led the initiative by announcing, hey, wait a minute, we need to look at this. But the reason he said we need to look at this is because he was on your show and you asked him, President Trump, the National Guard in Washington is going very well. We have seen the results there. You have made that city safe. Would you consider sending them to Memphis? And the president's answer was, I'll have to look at that. And so our community owes you, owes KWAM, a tremendous amount of gratitude for your willingness to, when you get in an interview with the president of the United States, you advocate for your hometown. You have had a huge impact on this crime issue. The Stop Memphis Crime page on Facebook has had a huge impact on changing the narrative locally. And in partnership with others like Representative Gillespie, who's sponsoring legislation, Senator Brent Taylor with his Make Memphis Matter initiative. We heard last night in the State of the State address from the governor, Memphis received 6 or 7 standing ovations. A quarter of his speech was about Memphis specifically, and Memphis has never mattered more than it does now. So we owe you, we owe Senator Brent Taylor, we owe President Trump and Governor Bill Lee a tremendous amount of gratitude for what you all have been doing to help our city.
Well, you're kind to say that. And look, that's, you know, we're here for the communication side of it, to get the message out and really to provide that voice for the grassroots conservatives across the Mid-South. And for so many years, you know, the conservatives and the grassroots, the people who are not the, and again, I don't want to disparage, I say country club Republicans, and that's not the right term to use. But for the sake of this conversation, there was this mentality of, oh, if you're working class, if you're middle class, you're really not welcome in the party unless you are serving, if you're in some sort of a serving role. But we don't want you in leadership. We don't want to hear what you have to say. You do as you are instructed to do. Otherwise, you're labeled as a troublemaker or, you know, whatever. Am I off base here?
No, I think that's a struggle that we're seeing in Republican parties across the country. Donald Trump, President Trump, really changed the Republican Party and brought in a whole new wave of a voter that wanted to not only vote but be actively involved. And what we're seeing now is that there is a low propensity voter. That means they may only vote every 4 years in a presidential election, but they vote for Donald Trump. And we need as many of those people to get involved with the local party, to come to events, to run for local positions, to show up every single month at the executive committee meetings, to get involved, to start motivating that low propensity voter. And sure, a lot of them don't, you know, may not look, may not smell, may not talk like those who are already pre-existing in the party, but they are a tremendously important part of the party. And we need a big tent party with all different kinds of people. I mean, when you have Scott Bessent and Nicki Minaj holding a press conference for the Trump administration, that's what we need more of, not less. And so, yes, some people talk about these Trump voters as being the grassroots. Some people call them a low propensity Trump voter. We need as many of those people involved so that they start voting in local elections. And that's something that I had worked really hard to do with the Revive 25, the local Revive 25 team that ran for the local party a year ago. Was let's get all of the different groups under one tent. Let's get the competing women's clubs. Let's get the moderate East Memphians. Let's get the far-right Trumpy conservatives in Collierville. Let's get them all together working on the same side so that instead of being on the Trump voters being on the outside, looking in to fight to hold the party accountable. Let's get them on the inside looking out so that all of the different groups are fighting against the radical left and against these liberals here locally that were trying to do things like ban routine traffic stops, that were speaking out against law enforcement, that were just having we've seen the debacle in the Memphis Shelby County schools. Let's get everybody on the same side fighting the liberal Democrats rather than fighting each other. And, you know, we have had a change in leadership for the party. And obviously with a change in leadership, that means that there is a change sometimes in priorities. There is a change in leadership style. And I felt that because these elections were spurred on by that change in leadership with a previous chairman resigning and a new one coming on, I felt that my skills were better utilized prioritizing what I had been prioritizing for the past year. And so I chose not to run again.
It's shocking. And I think it shocked a lot of people, you know, based on the responses I have seen on social media and that we've been getting, getting on our social media pages, so the text messages I've been getting. And a lot of folks are wondering, you know, is there a place for the grassroots folks in politics here in West Tennessee?
There is, and what I encourage people to do is find a local campaign that inspires you. What we're seeing across the country is that voters do not come out for a party. What they come out for is a really good candidate. So get involved in the primary process. Get involved on a local campaign. We have a lot of important races coming up this year. We have to get Representative John Gillespie, who's in the tightest district in the state, the most purple district in the state. He carries a lot of our crime-fighting legislation. Let's get behind him. Let's knock on doors. Let's get out the votes. That was something that I really wanted to do with the local party. That is what I'm going to now be doing for campaigns instead. It's very, very important. So it's get involved. You are welcome. I received a text message yesterday from somebody who had gotten involved, and he said, Luke, I just want to let you know that every event I came to, you made sure to make me feel welcome and like I had a place here. And that is my mission. You are welcome to voting for conservative candidates. You are welcome in participating in the electoral process. We want to use you. We want you to help us knock on doors, get out the vote, tell your friends and neighbors. We are better together, regardless of your background, regardless of if you're a moderate Republican or a conservative Republican. We want you involved. And so I encourage folks, reach out to me on social media. It's Luke Symbol, C-Y-N-B-A-L, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's at Luke Symbol on X. We want to get you plugged in. I've been doing that for years. I was doing it for the party this past year. We had tremendous success, and now I'll continue to do it for local campaigns. But you know, folks, the party is much bigger than one person, and so it will continue, and I wish them the best. I will just be focusing on other things, and that's perfectly okay.
Yeah, look, I've covered a lot of politics over the years, a lot, and I'm just telling you, I have been shocked at how nasty local politics can be. It's really breathtaking, and it catches you by surprise, Luke, but it's nasty, ugly, petty. It's disgusting.
Well, it can be, but it doesn't have to be. And that's why I chose to go a different way. You know, I hold on to my word and my integrity, and I am going to focus on the priorities that are really important. So I sent an email to the party yesterday, and I said, I implore you to focus on disciplined priorities. Do not get distracted with the needless priorities that shouldn't even be on the radar. Let's focus on the correct priorities. And that is what I will be doing. And like I said, I invite others to join me. We have a lot of great work to do locally. Thanks to your willingness to be involved locally and to highlight the issues and talk about crime and change the narrative. We have a lot of work yet to do, and I'm going to be continuing to do it.
All right. Well, Luke, we're going to have to leave it there, but good luck to you. You know, you've got a platform here. And look, even Even the liberals have a platform here. Here on this radio station, we have conversations. We're the only locally owned, locally run news radio station. The people we broadcast on this radio station are alive, not dead. So you're getting, you know, real time information. And that's the mission. So, Luke, I got to run. We're so late for a break. But, Luke, we will hear from you. But, again, we respect your decision you made, and the best of luck to you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Your reaction to that news, everybody, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is Starnes Country in the Principal Toyota Memphis studio. I don't know who started it all. All I can tell you is that there are some of those highfalutin Republicans, and you know who you are, and you think that the grassroots are the, what was it, Peter Strzok from the FBI? We were smelly Walmart people. That's what they, there are people that really think that way. And all I can tell you is that we love the grassroots here at KWAM, and we don't believe grassroots is a dirty word. As a matter of fact, as Dean writing in on our live feed this morning said, it was the grassroots who kicked the British out of America in 1776. Well said, Dean. And this is true. This is absolutely true. By the way, we are hearing rumblings, and, you know, we should have asked Symbol about this because I don't think he's done. I'm just sort of reading between the lines here. I don't think that guy's done. I saw Lugan, if you've been watching this guy, he's been going on all the TV shows, and he's been taking the fight to the Democrats, and that's what we need. That's what we need. We need somebody out there who's got the balls to stand up to the Democrats in this town. And finally, we had somebody that was willing to do it and also to do it effectively. I respect that, and I appreciate that. And it wasn't mean or nasty, but you got to call these folks. Justin Pearson literally represents the Democrat Party here. That's how radicalized the Democrats are. We've got to take the fight to them, and we've got to punch hard politically. That's what we have to do. By the way, take a look, and if you want to see the health of a party, take a look at the people, the numbers of people that are running for office, that are willing to put their name out there. Take a look at the fundraising efforts. We've got a lot of ground to make up between now and the primaries. And we have got to have a strong, viable candidate for county mayor. And you know what I just heard on KWAM a few moments ago? I heard a strong, viable candidate for county mayor, even possibly as an independent. I don't know. But I am telling you, we've got to have some change here in West Tennessee. We've just got to. And I respect anybody who's going to go toe-to-toe and not only call out the Democrats, but also call out the media here in this town, because they're all far-left radicals. Shame on all of them. But anyway, so we appreciate Luke coming on. It's a smidge inside politics, and we try not to go too terribly inside politics, but this is a huge thing, because without the voice, without the megaphone of conservatives here in the Mid-South, and you know what? Forget about the Republican Party. Forget about them. They're irrelevant to me now. We're talking about conservatives. You know what's important? Without the conservative voice and those grassroots supporters, we would not have the National Guard here. And I know a lot of people hate KWAM, and the reason why they hate KWAM is we don't work off anybody's talking points at all, period. We just don't do that. And they don't like that because they can't tell me what to say. We've got corporate talk radio stations. People tell those folks what to say, not here on this radio station. You may not like what I have to say, but at least you know where I stand. I'm just saying. So anyway, maybe, I don't know, is Luke Symbol going to be running for public office? All we can say is stay tuned, and we shall see. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is Starnes Country in the Principal Toyota Memphis studio. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Stearns Country in the Principal Toyota Memphis studio. Looking for a great car? Well, I want you to contact my good friend Todd Lochner over at Principal Toyota Memphis. All right, want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line this morning and say hello to our friend Joe Garner. Real Estate Mortgage Shop, Saturdays, 11 o'clock, right here on the Mighty 990. By the way, Joe's website, joegarner.com. That's Joe without the E, joegarner.com. Joe, good morning. Oh, have you thawed out?
Not really, Todd. I'm telling you, it's been a nice storm to remember, hasn't it?
You know, it really has. I was I do an early morning two-way with one of our affiliates over in North Georgia, and they were talking about, oh, you know, all the snow is gone, and I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to the groundhogs. I'm done with you people.
Oh, I think it'll get out of here, though, pretty soon, don't you?
I sure hope so. In the meantime, Joe, there's a lot of real estate news, and let's go over some of the top headlines and some of the big predictions from Realtor.com.
Yes, from Memphis, actually. You know, they said Memphis home prices are forecasted to increase. It's a very modest 1.8% in 2026. But, hey, it's going in the right direction, Todd. And Memphis home sales, they predicted to decline 7.7% in 2006 for Memphis area. Mortgage rates are predicted to hover around the low to mid sixes. There's other forecasts out there that say rates, you know, may hover lower and that the market will be better. But look, there's a lot of positive. Let's cover the negative forecast from Realtor.com first for our Mid-South area. These headlines are predicting that Memphis, the real estate market, is going to be moving down from 37% out of 100 cities to 89th in 2026. I'm like, what? Well, the heaviest weight on that report was that they think Memphis home sales are going to be less in 26. But if you're a home buyer or a home seller or investor, the forecast, you know, Todd, for our real estate is actually looking favorable. You got to look at the other parts. Memphis and the Mid-South real estate market, it's poised to outperform many U.S. regions due to our superior, and we've heard this before, affordability, high rental yields for investors buying in here also, consistent, stable growth. I mean, that's been our description for years in Memphis. Compared to the national average, our region benefits from the lower cost of living we have, strong demand from a growing, diverse employment base. You know, we've got FedEx, we've got Amazon, St. Duke. First-time home buyers, this is a great time to buy because you can afford the monthly payments. And we've got several down payment assistance programs here too, Todd. You know, I share a lot of stories on the show on your station, the Mighty 990. And one of them is Frankie, the first-time home buyer. And, you know, this speaks to a lot of people in Memphis. Frankie is tired of paying rent. He's ready to forge his own better future. And he has, okay credit, not a lot of money to close. But, you know, somebody like Freddie, Todd, it can qualify for a low fixed rate mortgage-backed loan, mortgage with down payment assistance. Every time Frankie makes a mortgage payment, he's building equity, he's building wealth for himself, and he can do that because it's affordable for him to buy because he lives in the Mid-South.
It's a great point you raise, and again, I think you have to look at this from two different perspectives. You know, from an investment perspective, and also a home seller's perspective.
That's right. We've got a strong rental market in Memphis. We also have a strong buyer's market because we are an affordable city. Investors, we still are top of the heap. You know, among some other cities, also. If you're buying a home to rent to tenants, we've got a really good cap rate, you know, generally speaking, depending on how you buy. But it's easier to get a 12% or higher cap rate buying in Memphis. Home sellers, let's talk about those. If you're itching to move, but you've been locked in place because you didn't want to give up your 3 or your 4% mortgage rate. Well, right now, Todd, we're at a 3-year low on mortgage rates today. And I mean, you might be able to move and leave that 3 or 4% mortgage rate if you sell to go to upper fives or maybe low sixes. So I believe that we're going to see some people coming off of that being locked in place and go ahead and make the move they want to be. Like I've got customers who want to be close to family members. So, but they're stuck living in the same house because they didn't want to give up the rate. There's a little known tool that we use that can help people if they can't sell their house first to be able to initially they'll put a small amount down and have a larger payment. But we have a tool that when they do sell their house and they take that large profit and pay down on the mortgage, we can get the mortgage payment lower without them having to refinance.
It is terrific advice from our good friend, Joe Garner, joegarner.com. That's Joe without the E, joegarner.com. And again, when you're looking at the real estate market here in the Mid-South, there is a lot of positive movement here and a lot of things people are praising about our real estate market.
Yeah, here's some of them. You can Google and see some of them, but it's stuff like the Mid-South isn't a wild ride, but it's a smart climb when it comes to real estate. Affordable entry, steady equity, not overheated, just healthy, where first-time home buyers can still win. Those are some positive comments about our market.
I love this. And again, folks, you're going to be able to hear all about this every Saturday right here exclusively on the Mighty 990, 11 o'clock Real Estate Mortgage Shop. Joe, let's talk about what's coming up Saturday on the show.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about this stuff you and I just discussed. We're going to talk about why the Mid-South is winning, real estate strength in a shifting national market. I've got Alan McCool, who is an established appraiser with Stevenson and Associates, who's going to be on with me. So it's going to be good, 11 o'clock on Saturday. I encourage people to catch your app, mighty990.com, if you want to listen online.
You can certainly do that, ladies and gentlemen, and you can go right to our website, either mighty990.com, kwamradio.com, download our free app. You can put it on your smartphone, so when you're running around doing errands or you're maybe mowing, well, you're not mowing the grass, you're shoveling snow, you'll be able to listen to Joe, and maybe Joe can help you get into a condo. Let somebody else handle all of that work. So, all right. So, Joe, give us the call to action here. Where do people need to go? Who do they need to call if they want to get more info?
If you're someone who, or you know somebody who's thinking about buying a home or refinancing to one of these 3-year low mortgage rates, please contact me today. You can call or text me 901-482-0354. You can connect at jogarner.com. But, Todd, it would be my pleasure to help our listeners out there to get the right mortgage, and we'll make the mortgage process easy. Remember, jogarner.com.
All right, good stuff. Well, Joe, we look forward to seeing you on the radio. It's going to be a fun, fun show. Folks, Saturday, 11 o'clock, right here on the Mighty 990. Stay warm, Joe.
Thank you.
All right. Great lady right there. Literally, she is like the queen of mortgage. If you need to know anything about mortgages here in the Mid-South, she's the person to call. And I want to give you that number again, 901-482-0354. That's 901-482-0354. All right. Coming up, Congressman David Kustoff drops by. But first, let's check in with Commander Chuck. Welcome back to Starnes Country here in the Principal Toyota Memphis studio. I'm Todd Starnes. Great to have you with us today. Mentioned our good friend Congressman David Kustoff. He joined me last night on my Newsmax TV show, and here's that conversation.
I wanted to get an update on the situation there in Nashville, which I know is not in your district, but there has been a lot of outrage over the DEI hires that have led to big problems getting the power back on. We're hearing thousands and thousands of people still do not have power and may not have power for days as a result of some of those DEI initiatives. What say you?
They may not have power for another week, Todd, some of those people. In fact, I was just visiting with somebody from Nashville who told me that he was talking to someone who hasn't had power. The internal temperature in their home in Nashville is 33 degrees. And so they're about to have structural issues, pipes burst. It's a real bad situation. To your point, it's bad leadership. The head of the Nashville Electric System, NES, prioritized DEI initiatives over making sure that the power functioned and making sure that the power would not go out in an ice storm, and if it did, that they could restore power within a quick amount of time. And unfortunately, that's not the case. People in Nashville have been without power now for 8 to 9 days, and in this day and time, that's unconscionable.
It's just insane. And she's actually did an interview, Congressman, where she said, the head of the electric company said, yeah, we really do place a priority on protecting what she called the canopy of trees in Nashville, so much so they hired an arborist on staff. And I certainly hope that arborist is also a lineman on the side, because they could use all the help they could get in the Nashville area to get those lights back on.
It's critical, not only with the power being out, but power lines being down on the ground and on certain streets. So they truly were not prepared. Nashville was not prepared for this ice storm that they got just a few days ago, just over a week ago. And it's critical in Nashville, and hopefully somebody will issue some leadership and will display some leadership to literally get the lights back on.
You know, Congressman, I want to get back to Washington and to bend your ear as a former U.S. Attorney. The idea that in some of these cities, major cities, police were told to stand down, not to provide any assistance to the federal agents that are boots on the ground. I'm just curious, why is it that we're seeing this level of violence in a lot of these cities, and yet in Memphis, which is in your congressional district, we've got National Guard boots on the ground, federal agents boots on the ground, but certainly have not seen any of the hostilities?
You know, I think back to my time as U.S. Attorney, when federal, state, and local law enforcement worked well, worked hand in hand with each other. And that, to your point, in Memphis, that is still the case today. A lot of it is the mentality of the people on the ground, and certainly the leadership. But look at Minnesota, Todd, where you have the governor, Waltz, and the mayor, Fry, who have been openly antagonistic towards federal law enforcement. And so they're rank and file. State and local law enforcement are going to follow the lead of their elected leadership. And that's a shame, because everybody should want to live in a safe community, regardless of your party, regardless of where you come from. And when you have local and state elected officials like they do in Minnesota, if they would take a page of what we're doing in Tennessee, where you've got a mayor who's a Democrat, you've got a governor who's a Republican, but they've been supportive generally of the effort that's gone on in Memphis. And as you know, we've had the Memphis Safe Task Force since the end of September. They've made over 5,600 arrests. They've arrested something like 550 known gang members. And you know what people across the community, regardless of who they are or what political party, what they're saying thank you. They're saying thank you to federal law enforcement. Thank you to state law enforcement. Thank you to local law enforcement, and thank you to the National Guard.
All right, that's a bit of our conversation with Congressman David Kustoff last night on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. So U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro is making some headlines. You know, it's interesting. This administration it's hard to say if they are anti-gun or if they're just making some verbal gaffes. We know that because the president and other administration officials said a couple of weeks ago, you're not allowed to bring any sort of a weapon to a protest, which is not accurate. And then last night, Jeanine Pirro on Fox News Channel has announced that you are not allowed to bring any sort of a gun into Washington, D.C. I want you to take a listen.
And you bring a gun into the district, you mark my words, you're going to jail. I don't care if you have a license in another district, and I don't care if you're a law-abiding gun owner somewhere else. You bring a gun into this district, count on going to jail, and hope you get the gun back. And that makes all the difference.
Yeah, it's amazing how accountability works, you know, when people think that if they actually get arrested, they might have to do time and they might be taken off the street. It sort of puts a little different message into people's heads.
All right. So there you go. No doubt there is going to be a lot of anger from Second Amendment folks, as well as organizations like Gun Owners of America. We're going to do a deep dive into all of this later on today, 11 o'clock, here on the Todd Stern Show, which you can listen to exclusively here on the Mighty 990. Also, I want to go back to a story that has generated literally hundreds of comments on our KWAM Facebook page. A parent reached out, sent me an email over the weekend, and she was really distraught, and she was trying to figure out how to handle a situation in her child's school. And her child is a fifth grader at a school in Bartlett. And I want to read to you what the mom said. And I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on this and how you would handle the situation. She said her son came home from school a few weeks ago, said his teacher had stated that Trump did not deserve to be presented a Nobel Peace Prize. And her son said that a few of the kids in the classroom chimed in and stated how Trump was a horrible person and how racist he is. And this is all happening inside a fifth grade classroom. She said that she wrote to the principal. She contacted the teacher. She went to the board members, and nobody's ever gotten back with her talking about the appropriateness of this conversation. So, look, here's my take on it. If this is, an American history class or a government class or a civics class, and this was part of the conversation and it was a student-generated conversation, I don't think it's that big of a deal to have that kind of a conversation. But for a teacher to insert her own political viewpoints inside the classroom, that is where I would have to draw the line here. Because how many times have we heard the stories, even here in West Tennessee, here in the Mid-South, of teachers that have turned their classrooms into these propaganda centers for far left, for Democrat policies? And that's what I'm concerned may have happened here in Bartlett. So we've reached out to Bartlett schools as well, trying to get some information, trying to get some intel on what actually happened. I know many of you are asking, what was this school? I'm not going to name this school. We want to make sure that we give the school an opportunity to have their side of it, but they're not getting back to us. So, but a lot of you folks are weighing in, and many are saying that this is perfectly appropriate for the teacher to do what she did. So, as a matter of fact, Patricia says, this sounds like a great conversation for the kids. My granddaughter's an educator. Her fifth grader had good concerns and questions about all of that. Another says, so the truth was told in the classroom. Great job. Chuck says, wait a second. No kid should know a teacher's sexual or political views and preferences, period. I'm with Chuck here. I go back to Hope Sullivan Elementary School in South Haven, I couldn't tell you who was a Democrat, who was a Republican. Those were the good old days. All right, we've got to leave it there. 11 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget the Todd Stern Show. Be sure to join us. Get out there and have a safe and great day, everybody.